When I no longer remember why I hurt, I am healed. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. When I no longer remember why I hurt, I am healed. Now, this statement is a backward statement, and it's a statement that teaches the entire philosophy that we teach. I am healed when I no longer remember that I am hurt. I am healed when I no longer remember why I hurt. The why I hurt. So you hurt. And then I say, oh, Ingeborg, your sister's on the phone. And she forgets all about her hurt. She doesn't say, oh, I hurt so bad, I can't go on the phone, I can't talk to my sister because I hurt so bad. She doesn't say, oh, wow, yes, hey, and she babbles away to her sister and as though she was the healthiest, happiest girl in the world. And then she hangs up the phone and says, oh, I hurt. You see, hurt is a remembrance. Hurt is a concentration. Hurt is an awareness. And we don't need to have that concentration or that awareness. We want to be concentrated and awaring of what we want to really experience in our life. Now, what sort of thing do you want in your life? Do you want wholeness or do you want hurtness? Now, anybody who speaks unkindly of another person under any circumstances is asking for trouble because we are recognizing something unkind in the other person, and therefore it is in us. So let's never see anything unkind in another person. Let's always see something beautiful and glorious and good. Now, my beloved Rhonda wrote me a beautiful response to the Santa Claus hat letter that I sent out, the billionaire letter. And her response was so convoluted, it would take a French, Vietnamese, New York lawyer to figure out where she was going. Now, occasionally a little flower would bloom through there, and a little beautiful idea would come through. And so I wrote her back, and I should have brought it along, but I said, dear beloved Rhonda, you have so many beautiful ideas to express. The great authors of the world are those men who and women who have learned how to take these ideas that they have, which are just plain ordinary ideas, and clothe them in beautiful words that make you want to read what they have to say. And if you will permit me, I would like to work with you to clothe the beautiful words you have with words that make people want to read what you have to say. Now, I could have said, you just haven't got it. You know, you just are so confused. You are so, but you see, that's not the answer. The idea is she has beautiful thoughts. She has beautiful words. She has a great capacity. She just hasn't channeled it into a simple kiss word way to do it. Keep it simple, sweetheart. This is something very few people do. That's why there are very few authors in this world. Out of, what is it, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 billion people on Earth, it grows so quickly. How many are authors? Just a few million, you know? Everyone could be an author if they would learn how to channel their thoughts into beautiful ideas. What makes a man a wise man? What makes a woman a wise woman? Their ability to see common, ordinary things through the eyes of beauty, through the eyes of imagination, through the eyes of joy and harmony and peace and wisdom. And they come up with the most remarkable responses to the simplest, most ordinary, everyday occurrences. And I wish I could have said that. I wish I had said that. Oh, how beautiful that is. And occasionally I write things and people say, I want to keep that because that's so beautifully said. And I said, well, that's great, but I copied that from somebody else. And they say, well, I don't care. I got it from you. And that's the point. But the thing is, we should be open and receptive to hearing it from anywhere we want to hear it, and then do it. But so long as we concentrate on our hurt, then we are still hurt. When we concentrate on anything other than our hurt, the hurt is no longer there. It's no longer something that's going to bother us and something that's going to knock us down. Okay? How do we do this? When I no longer remember why I hurt, I am healed. And you know what the why comes dressed up in? The why comes dressed up into self-pity. When we have self-pity for ourselves, that's how the why is dressed. Anytime we have self-pity for ourselves, for no matter what it is, then what we have done is to maintain our awareness of the hurt. You know? Is that clear?
Yes.
It's a simple, beautiful, positive statement, but it's so clear. When we do not have self-pity, when we can just forget it and go on with our life and benefit from the mistake we made or from the experience that we had, and you go on. So you have a hurt. And like Ilse, remember? She was going to open the front door, but she had a pot of hot tea in her hand. And she kept the pot of hot tea in her hand, and she opened the door and poured the tea all over her wrist as she was inviting her friend to come in. Whoops! And there's boiling hot water in there. And she put the pot down, and she again returned her attention to her friend who had come to visit and forgot about the burned wrist with that hot water. And later, when the friend left, she did not see any mark of the hot water, or had she thought about it at all. You see, that's just one little illustration. We all have illustrations in our life where we have forgotten it, where we have allowed the illness, the pain, to be forgotten. Now, what is a migraine headache? A migraine headache is a continuing headache that is very, very tough. And lots of people have migraine headaches. And a migraine headache will drive you up the wall all day long and all night long, and it'll just make you want to go insane. It'll make you want to kill yourself. But does a migraine headache really do that? When does a person not have a migraine headache? Well, a person has a migraine headache, and then they start watching a TV show that they get interested in, and they forget about their migraine headache. They get on the telephone, and they talk to a little granddaughter, grandson, or maybe to their son or daughter, maybe to somebody, their husband or wife or whatever, and they forget about the migraine headache. They are so infatuated with the conversation that they're having, they forget about it. You see, we really have the capacity to forget about it. A dog, when a dog is badly injured, a dog will crawl under the back porch of the house, if you have one, and will lay there in the dark and let the healing take place. But the dog does one thing very consciously, at least I think it's consciously. He turns off the pain. Once he recognizes the pain, then he turns it off. Because if the dog had to live through that pain, if that pain were to continue as it could, it would just kill the dog. The pain kills more people than anything else. But it would just kill the dog. So the dog has learned through experience to turn off the pain and not be disturbed by the pain. Why I no longer remember, when I no longer remember why I hurt, then I'm healed. That's such a simple solution, isn't it? It's such a simple solution. Now, but I keep getting this migraine headache. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. And you keep forgetting it. And you keep forgetting it. And you keep forgetting it by distracting your mind to other areas. You keep forgetting it. You keep forgetting it. You keep forgetting it. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, gee, I haven't had a migraine headache for a long time. And bang, then she's back. But keep forgetting it. Keep releasing it from your mind and no longer hang on to it. No longer put it in your world. Now, Sylvia gave us her five statements here. Each day you're supposed to write five statements of acts of love and kindness that you did. Now, Sylvia knows what the rules are, as we all do. And so she expanded on it without following the rules. And so when I took her to task for this, she hurt a lot. It hurt her right in her heart, especially when I spoke it out loud. It made her feel very sad, and it made her feel that she was being picked on and that her life was, you know, in terror, shatters for the moment. Okay. Why did she write them in the first place? Because she wanted to have credit for doing something that she thought was pretty nice. And I said, don't do that. Just write something simple like, I opened the car for a lady. Not all of the reasons why it happened. Because when you start doing the reasons why it happened, then what you're doing is to ask for a pat on the back. And this is what I tell us all to avoid like the plague. Avoid the pat on the back like the plague, because we don't need it. If we are allowing ourselves to need it and want it, then we will be possessed by it. That can be a hurt. That can be a big hurt. And it's a hurt. And the more we protest about it, the more we are not paying attention to the simplicity of it. Now, Ingeborg oftentimes has a hurt. She has a hurt for the lack of oxygen, or she has a hurt for the lack of something or other. And so we get Ingeborg to forget about it by talking about something else, getting her interested in something else, or telling her about her dogs or something, and her cats and what have you. And then all of a sudden she forgot that she was needing oxygen. She forgot that she was needing this or that or the other thing. And boom, it's gone. But the minute she let her attention return to the fact that the oxygen was there and that she needed it, then she is getting it back into her attention. It's when I no longer remember why I hurt, then I am healed. Now, Ingeborg has bottles of oxygen that she uses occasionally. And she puts them in strange places. Now, if you have a bottle of oxygen, you don't stick it under the pillow on the couch. That's not the place to put it. You put it in the closet, or you put it wherever, but you put it out of the way, where you know where it is, so when you want it, you can find it. It is not something that the rest of us should even be aware of. If you wear Pampers because you're incontinent, you don't leave your Pampers lying around the house so that you have them available when you need them. You wear them or not. And you see, this is something very, very important. This is something very important. Whatever are our little clues which are helpful to us, we always take care of them and put them away nicely. Whatever are our clues of being sorry for ourselves or hurting ourselves, these things we want to take good care of, because we want to be able to find them when we want them. It's just like a lot of people who come in to talk to me as a practitioner, and the minute they walk in the door, they start crying, water pouring out of their eyes. I don't even know what their problem is yet, or their solution. And so as they come in, I say, the Kleenex is over here. Now, there's one box of Kleenex per session. If you use it up, your session's over. So don't use it up too fast, because you'll be out of here in no time then. And so, believe it or not, they forget to use the Kleenex. So I got it for the next person. But they forget to use it. And you have to be sort of blunt. You have to be sort of outward with them and sort of open. In the articles that Mary Willett has been sending me recently, one of them said about the abandoned and underprivileged children. I believe it was in New York. And these children had a very low self-esteem because they had come from a home where they were abused mentally and socially by their parents. And interesting how they were abused. They did not have any socks, and they did not have any underwear. And so the little girl would tell the teacher, "I'm so ashamed, you know, I'm so ashamed." And the teacher would say, "Why?" "Because I have no socks and I have no underwear." And the teacher would say, "What?" And the teacher would go out immediately and buy some for the child and give it to the child to wear, because the child got none at home. Because this was one way of her family of belittling the child, not giving adequate clothing to the child. Now, instead of doing all of that, which is a noble and a wonderful thing, you could do one of two things or more. One, you could see every child loved and cherished in their home. A teacher could see every child she has loved and cherished in her home, so that the hurt is no longer there. Loved and child and cherished in their home. Or the teacher could see the children who usually like to be naked anyhow, that if they don't have any underwear, that's perfectly okay. They learn to keep themselves cleaner because they don't want to soil their clothing, and they learn to not demonstrate to others. I mean, when you are in undergrades, fifth and sixth and so forth, you don't have gym classes where you get naked before other children, and you don't get down into your play clothes at school. So you don't have your clothes off, and nobody knows that you don't have underwear. Socks they might recognize, but I personally don't wear socks either. But that's just another thing. So, you see, these are hurts. These are hurts. And when the hurts are transformed into non-hurts, into normal, wonderful, everyday activities, then they don't hurt anymore. They don't hurt. And this is something that each one of us could train for ourselves. We could train for people in our world, and we could train our pets. Now, our pets hurt. They want food. They come to us and they whine and dine asking for food while we're eating our meal. And we should train the pets to go and sit in their corner and not disturb us during meals. But we love to have them right at the table and give them a scrap or two. But we are creating them wanting food from the table. They never had the idea of getting food from the table until we gave them the idea. You follow me? Now, we have done this, but we can change it. We can put a new cause in motion, and the answer is no. And one of the best ways of not feeding a dog at the table is not to look at it as it sits there begging, you know. Don't give it any attention, and pretty soon it'll realize it's not going to get any attention, and it'll go away. But you say to yourself, "Oh, you're hungry, aren't you? You'd like some of this food, wouldn't you?" And you're putting that thought in your mind, and you're putting it in your pet's mind. These are hurts that the pet is experiencing, the desire for something that it shouldn't have. These are hurts that children have when adults eat and drink and do things that the children shouldn't do. The children have a great compulsion to do those things, even though it's not beneficial to them. And we are the ones who create them doing it. Instead of saying, "Hey, you want to taste this stuff? It's stuff that adults like, and we had to learn to like it because it didn't come naturally. Yuck, yucky pooey," you know. And that's the way my dad did it with us. He let us taste the beer, and yuck, you know, who needs that stuff? You know, "You like that? My gosh," you know. And it's so easy. Just think, it's so easy for parents to destroy children's habits, good eating habits, by saying, the parent, "I don't like broccoli." You can be sure the children are not going to like broccoli. Well, not because broccoli is good, bad, or indifferent, but because the parent has set the pattern. So if it's that simple to do those things, it's that simple for us to do it for ourselves so that we can recognize, when I no longer remember why I hurt, I'm healed. Put those things in consciousness. They come with some pretty wonderful results when you do that. I see each one of you now, healed, whole, perfect, and wonderful. When I no longer remember why I hurt, I'm healed. And none of us remember ever any hurt. Not one that's happening, that happened, or that will happen. All time is now. We live in wholeness and happiness and health. And it's a wonderful thing. So have a lovely day today, and know that I have you in my heart, in my blessings, in my life, in my love. I love you.